Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Everton Fan Focus podcast with myself, Mark Finnegan, and Mark Ellis.
Hello.
On tonight's episode, we're going to be looking back at the Manchester City game, the Barnsley Cup victory, and also the Spurs 0-0 draw at White Hart Lane. We'll also be taking a look at Everton's transfer window dealings and the final deadline day activity from the Blues as we saw Everton sign two players. So, Mark, an awful lot's happened since we last met. How are you feeling after the events of the past 3 weeks?
Okay, a little bit sort of. It's been an indifferent start, hasn't it, to the season, and it's like, you know, the transfer window underwhelmed a little bit. But there's been some positive signs on the pitch. Although, you know, we've sort of been up and down, hasn't it? You know, we haven't sort of found a settled rhythm to our season yet. So I just think. I think this weekend is pivotal coming up. It's something, you know, if we can get something against Chelsea, then that could install belief and all that. Thus far, we played some good stuff. We played some not so good stuff. It's been pretty average, hasn't it, to be honest, the start of the season.
Yeah, I think I completely agree about the Chelsea game, though, Mark. It could be like the basically kickstart we need.
Yeah.
I remember a couple of seasons ago when Roberto first took over, I think we drew our first three. If I remember rightly, we beat Chelsea 1-0 in the September, and we didn't really look back from then on in. But it's been a bit here and there, isn't it? I mean, obviously we've kept two clean sheets away from home. We had the fantastic win at Southampton. You know, some people might say the Spurs result was a good result away from home. The Manchester City game was all a bit routine, wasn't it?
Yeah,
and fit. Further back than that, the Watford game, pretty a game of two halves, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're right. The City game was just, you know, basically, you know, we didn't really expect anything and we didn't get anything, did we, from that match. But it was, I think the sort of thought with the City game was that Mahrez sort of didn't really help with it. It was a really cautious starting 11, wasn't it, that he put out, you know, it sort of give City all the impetus they needed. They've got enough class as it is, but I think you've got to start to want to lay a glove on teams like this, you know, using what you've got attacking-wise to try and hit these teams. But I just thought we sort of turned up, didn't expect much and didn't get much, you know, it's just one of them, wasn't it?
It did turn to be quite routine. I mean, Everton did okay, but I think we said this after the games. I mean, Mark, you can't just do okay against the likes of City and expect to get a win. You've got to be on top of your game. And I think the week before against Southampton, we probably saw as good as Everton performance as we have in many years. And, you know, to carry that through into the following week was always going to be a tough ask. But I think it was all too easy in the end, I thought, for City. Obviously, we had that Lukaku goal, didn't we? That was wrongly ruled out for offside.
Did it change the game? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And then in the second half, he threw on Naismith for Kone. But in the end, Kolarov scored, and we didn't really look like we were going to get our way back into it, did we? And I mean, Nasri went on and got the second, and
yeah.
Howard came into criticism for that. What did you make of those two goals?
It was let's face it, if that was most goalkeepers, I don't like really like going to town on Howard this season. I think he's looked a lot better generally as he this season.
You feeling all right saying that?
Yeah, he couldn't have looked much worse. But no, I know it's been a long day, so maybe I'm not thinking clearly. But no, Howard, I mean, Kolarov's goal was just ridiculous. There's no way he should be scoring from there. Don't mind if he pulls it back and someone sticks it in from there, but to score from that angle at the near post, Howard should have had that covered. And I think 9 keepers out of 10 would have saved that, wouldn't they? But that's just a classic Tim Howard clanger that. And it was a shame because I thought that the previous week at Southampton, he looked solid. Hadn't he? No fuss, no drama.
Yeah, it started, you know, he'd done confident performance against Southampton. But yeah, I completely agree. I think Kolarov, when he's in there, you're expecting him to pull it back, but Howard was too busy doing the starfish and jumped over it. But obviously, we made changes with Naismith coming on. Kone was probably ineffective, wasn't he? Although he had a good game against Southampton, he didn't really carry it on. Same with Lukaku, to be honest. Young Brendan Galloway came off injured, which is another blow, isn't it? And Browning came on at half-time. But once Kolarov gave City the lead, I thought there was only going to be one side to win it. And they carved us open for the second, didn't they, late on?
Yeah, that's what good teams do. We were trying to sort of attack more. I just thought we were screaming out for more width, really, Mark, to be honest. He goes Naismith and sort of everything goes down the middle, doesn't it, then? And then we're easy to play against. I just think Everton played their best when we're going down the sides. And, you know, he certainly has got no more excuses for that kind of system now with signing Lennon, as he, you know, it's just that. You know, we've got so much pace down the sides now and pace down the flanks. He sort of backed himself into a corner now where he's going to have to go positive, isn't he, I think, from now on.
He can't
have the right winger sat on the bench.
He's got the attacking options there, hasn't he? You know, I mean, I think in an ideal world, we would have got like a left-sided attacking player on ideally another striker. It wasn't to be, but he's brought in Lennon. He obviously sees a place for Lennon, Morales, Delafoe, you know, they're all going to be at the club for the foreseeable future.
Delafoe can operate from the left. I know we're clutching straws here, and, you know, sort of round peg square holes, but Delafoe can play on the left, can't he, certainly, and Morales certainly can as well. So it's like, you know, we've got dangerous players in good positions, which is still, you know, the thing, definitely. You know.
Yeah, and although, so after following that, Mark, City game, basically that gave us a draw, a win and a defeat in our first three, so very much hard to read how the season was going to play out. Then we came to the Barnsley Cup game. Now this couldn't have come at a more ironic time, really, with this whole John Stones saga. And obviously the City game on the Sunday, it was the following Tuesday, wasn't it, when Stones apparently, well, he did hand in a transfer request. What did you make of that, Mark, just briefly?
Just thought Stones, I'd love to think he had bad advice and he's acted on it hastily, because to me, John Stones seems the type of guy that he would have made his mind up already about this in May. I honestly wouldn't have had a problem with him doing it in May, because we all, you know, I don't want to go into another ramp, but we're not really screaming ambition at the moment at our club, are we? So you can't fault the lad for wanting to. He's got no loyalty to Everton as far as, you know, ties or anything like that. But just thought the timing of it led to me that he'd had a bit of bad advice off maybe a pushy agent who sort of wanted to cash in, you know, with a week left of the window. Just thought the timing was awful. It was never going to happen in that case then, because to find a replacement for Stones, it was unrealistic, wasn't it? Particularly with the way we operate around transfers, you know, he should have told us in January, then he might have had half a show.
That's it.
You know, you want your best players to stay, and we want to build teams around that, but it comes to the point where you have to be realistic about where we're going at the moment. And I couldn't fault him for wanting to go, but I thought the timing stunk, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly just couldn't see it. I don't know what it was, but me being a fickle football fan, I thought John Stones would be the last person I would ever see throw in a transfer request. To be honest, Mark, as soon as that happened, I was on Twitter. I thought the writing was on the wall. I honestly thought the writing was on the wall. And for the life of me, I didn't think Roberto would throw him in against Barnsley. But then, on a second, you know, when you think about it, we've got no one else at centre-half.
No, No. So, and I also, you're right, I think, but I also think as Roberto, if you noticed, he looked a lot more steely, didn't he, and a lot more bullish in his interviews, a bit more cockier, a bit more arrogant, if you like. I just think, yeah, you're right, we didn't have many options to set up back, but it was also sticking two fingers up to Chelsea, wasn't it, putting him in?
Yeah.
Same, he's our player, but not keeping him out of the team, he's here to play. And I mean, he threw him straight in. I thought it was a good move, although
yeah.
I thought it was overblown, Stones's sort of lack of interest maybe in the game. I didn't think he had the worst game I've ever seen. He certainly wasn't at his best, but I think people were looking for an excuse, weren't they? But,
I think so, but and then...
Stuck two fingers up, didn't he, to the rest?
I completely agree, though, Mark, about it. I mean, we'll come to his interview after the game, and I thought he was bullish was probably the best way to describe it. But Stones had a decent enough game, I thought. I mean, people were like, oh, he jumped over the ball for the second goal. Obviously, it's ridiculous to suggest that there was any sort of... I thought a couple of the tackles he threw in were a bit uncharacteristic, but... It was an uncharacteristic night, wasn't it, at Oakwell? It was a real classic English Cup tie, I thought.
My overriding thought was that it was a fantastic game for the neutral, if not for the fan of them teams whose heart rate was going up and down by the minute. Everton, it was just manic, wasn't it? I mean, it was a game, no matter how much we felt behind, I never felt we were going to lose at any point, you know what I mean? It was one of them where you could say, well, we maybe raised that game 10%, we would have had enough to beat Barnsley. They give us a good go at us, and you got to give credit to Barnsley, you played some great stuff in the first half.
Well, let's relive that dramatic night at Oakwell and listen back to the highlights. What a night.
although it was an own goal, really, wasn't it? Not a hat-trick for Lukaku.
Yeah, it turned out, yeah, he didn't get credited with it. But do you know what? Yeah. Just on Lukaku, it makes me laugh how a lot of our fans are so quick to, criticise him. Let's be honest, some weeks he does look laboured. He does look a bit lethargic, you know... A touch like a sledgehammer. shall we say. The ball tends to bounce off him some weeks, but the thing is, the lad still comes out with a goal or two, you know what I mean? And ultimately, he is an investment that we've signed. And to get 20 goals in that side last year, I thought was a real statement from him. And I think he could even better it this season. And I think that was a classic example of Lukaku maybe not having one of his best nights, but coming away with two, nearly three goals. And ultimately,
how dangerous he can be. You know, Lukaku, how long have we been screaming out for a striker like that, you know, who can score goals on a regular basis? It hasn't happened forever almost, since, you know, go back to Kubu maybe, that was about the last one. But Lukaku's just, he's a goal scorer, and I think people expect too much of him. I don't anymore. I just think we've got to play to his strengths, get him in, and nine times, he'll always get it on target, always. And nine times out of ten, it's in the back of the net. The guy's just a goal scorer. He's not Mark Hughes, where he's going to hold the ball up and control it and, you know, play people in. He can do that on occasion, but not always. But he's, you know, I just think the guy is an actual goal scorer.
I think with the likes of Barkley, Delafoe, Morales and that, if when they're on the game, if they're getting balls over like Delafoe did against Barnsley there, Lukaku, you wouldn't want anyone else in the right position, you know what I mean? Lukaku, because he can score goals in the air, left and right foot. You know, we saw him at his best against the likes of Young Boys last season and Wolfsburg, and just what he is capable of. And I think, I mean, he was just one positive from the night. Obviously, the first 45 minutes, Mark, we thought the whole Stone saga going out the cup here, is it going to go tits up for Roberto already, you know what I mean?
Sort of like felt like things were coming to a massive head, didn't it? You know, the tensions at the club, the protests, and then Stones threw that in, which sort of sent nuclear meltdown, certainly on Twitter, you know, and everyone tearing each other's heads off and everything, you know. It was nasty, sort of horrible to watch, really, but it was everything was coming to a massive head, I think. And then I don't know, just sort of deflated, didn't it, over time. A bit like last season when we were panicking about going down, we just sort of turned it around for no reason whatsoever. I think Martinez's face at half time said it all, though. Mark, he walked off. I think he was waiting to give them all a slap on arrival, probably like airplane style, where they're all lining up to slap them.
Well, you'd like to think that he's got that about him. I'm sure he has, but I agree. He looked thunderous, like he was going to let loose, you know, the old hairdryer treatment, start throwing things in the dressing room. But maybe that's what it takes, you know. And I think Everton deserved it after that first half display. But second half, Mark, we didn't have serious reaction, didn't we? I mean, people can say what they want about it only being Barnsley. Barnsley deserved massive credit here. They played, they didn't play like a League One side, you know what I mean? They took the game to Everton, and they out fought us on, you know, for long periods. But I just thought that bit of quality in the second half, Delafoe just looked unplayable. And when he came on, I thought Barkley, Lukaku and Morales, the interchange and the movement with their play, and we're all crying out to see those four start, aren't we? But I think we're going to be made to wait a little bit longer.
Well, I sort of tweeted after it, probably getting carried away with beating Barnsley 5-3, fair enough. But that, you know, is there any better four, like, when they're on song and it's not always, I know that, but when they're playing well, Morales, Barkley, Lukaku and Delafoe would frighten the pants off pretty much anybody, wouldn't they? You know, when they're on song, that's a deadly combination up front, that, for us. And they're all capable of scoring 10, 15 goals a season, aren't they?
Yeah.
Barkley needs to improve his left foot swinger, which is clearing more stands than ever before. But, you know, that four is so deadly together, and you saw him in pit. Like you say, Delafoe came on, instantly lifted the level, but he also made the other players, I think, help them play better.
He just put Barnsley straight on the back foot. I mean, Morales scored and then Naismith scored, and we thought that we're going to go on to win this year. We just looked a completely different outfit. And Delafoe, what I liked, he doesn't even need any space to put a ball over, and he puts it, and it almost puts it like it's a dead weight, and it dips. And when you put a ball into the box like that, I mean, you're not stupid. If you put it in, it only takes a ricochet or a little faintest of contact. And because he's put that much venom and dip on the ball, it's in the back of the net. And I thought, I mean, he had involvement in those two goals, and nearly every goal, to be honest, from then on in.
Three assists, wasn't it, if you count Morales, Naismith, and also Lukaku's own goal. He was involved.
Because Delafoe put it in from the right for that as well. Yeah. And obviously, we got it back to 2-2, but then, you know, as I say, credit to Barnes, and he went up. And I think they had three shots and three. I mean, it doesn't do them justice. I mean, they played well, but I think they didn't have anywhere near as many attempts as us. I think ours was in the 30s, but obviously they got the third, and we thought, oh, we're gonna, you know, it was just a snapshot, wasn't it? It was in the back of the net, but then thankfully Lukaku took us to extra time, and then extra time wasn't plain sailing, though, was it, neither?
No, Barnsley come out again fighting, didn't they? You know, but we always look fresher, I think, man. We always look like we had that extra gear to go. And we went into it a little bit, didn't we, second half of extra time, where, you know, Barnsley were visibly tiring. They were, I mean, it was, you know, clearly they'd put all their efforts into the first 45 minutes, if you'd ask me. And then, you know, that's why we came back as strong as we did second half. But Barnsley certainly worked hard. But in the end, I think when you've got that extra quality on the pitch, the opposition has to work that much harder to keep up, you know, to sort of keep us in check, and maybe tiredness, they just couldn't, and the form of Delafoe and Barkley, Morales and all that, we just sort of ground them down, didn't we, really, in an extra time.
We did, and never mind the players being tired though, Mark, and all supporters watching that. Oh my God.
I know, it was like, when Barnsley scored, it was like when sort of Ashley Young scored after Les got equalised, you know, I hadn't finished celebrating, and the fellas running away, celebrating with his own fans. I just thought that's just ridiculous, Evan.
But we did see a reaction, yeah. And you know, we got our fourth and fifth in extra time as well. The Lukaku's second and the own goal. And I think you know, we all want to see progress in the Carling Cup. We've talked time and time again about this, Mark, haven't we?
Yeah.
And you know, it's silverware. It's a quick route to silverware. Something that eluded us for such a long time. And you know, Reading away in the next round again, it'll be another tough trip, you know. Reading, a decent side. I don't think we've got the best of records there neither, you know, if you get past them, and it's all you're looking ahead then on a forward path. I was glad to see you know, Roberto playing a fairly strong side, and I know he's made changes in the past couple of years against Fulham and Swansea. And although Matthew Pennington, he deserves a mention, he got put in, didn't he? It was a strong side, wasn't it? Let's be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. If you ask, I've been reading a lot from Coventry fans for some reason about Matthew Pennington, and they were really impressed with him. They thought he was, you know, really terrific. I think he was like player of the season or a young player, wasn't he, for them?
Yeah.
He really rated him highly while he was there, and he showed that you know, he's a good player. I think he's more of a centre back, really, isn't he? Pennington,
yeah.
By the way.
I think, I mean, it's going to be hard to get in a side at right back in front of Seamus Coleman, but these are the sort of games where the odd player will get their opportunity, won't they? You know what I mean? We've got utility players, but we've also got youngsters like Pennington who are on the fringes.
And they seem to be making more of a push for it lately, don't they? With Brown and Galloway, who are really almost first team.
Yeah.
Not regulars, but they're certainly around it a lot more than they used to be.
Well, they need to be, because we've got no one else there, have we, most of the time?
Exactly, the sort of lack of strength and depth again means, you know, maybe they are good enough to help us. Let's hope so, man. But definitely, this League Cup, we have got to target this season. I think we've got it. It's our number one target, if you ask me.
I think so. I mean, as I said, we sound like we're repeating ourselves, but I would love us. A lot of clubs and fans may call it the Mickey Mouse Cup. It's irrelevant and that, but I tell you what. I'd do anything to see our players and that manager lifting a trophy, and I'd love our fans to be able to just go out and have a drink and actually celebrate it, and you know, kids younger than me and you actually experience silverware.
There's nothing Mickey Mouse about that feeling that they'll get if they ever see Everton lift the trophy again, and it'll rejuvenate the whole fan base. I think it could lead to, you know, just like the FA Cup did in 1984, it led to bigger things, and I think we win this League Cup, then that installs so much belief, so much know-how, so much, you know, just overall confidence in the players. It really could easily lead to bigger things if only we could sort of get it right in the transfer window. Then, you know, we don't know, to be, but we, for me, the League Cup has to be the big target this season. I think it's achievable, absolutely.
I completely agree. You've pretty much hit the nail on the head there, Mark. I've got no one else to say. I completely agree with all of that. And I do believe it would unite the fans and, you know, really give this club a boost that we probably need. So, obviously, after that Barnsley game, Mark, all of the Stones situation gone on. Martinez, I thought, gave his best interview as Everton manager. He was forthright. He was bullish, as you said earlier. He was almost, to a point, arrogant or, like, confident because, you know, Stones is an Everton player and almost emotional as well, I thought. And you got all of those sorts of signals from him. And it was great to see him come out and say that. And then, you know, the next day, Mark, the club released a statement and the feelings that we had 48 hours earlier completely changed.
Exactly. We're the best knee-jerkers, aren't we? But, you know, sometimes it's justified, sometimes it isn't. We all thought Stones was, because he'd handed it in, he was leaving. Really good to see the club stand up to Chelsea and the really appalling media agenda. I've never seen anything like it. It was almost, I think they were going to help hold their Stones at gunpoint at one and frog march into Chelsea. It was absolutely disgusting to watch, underhand. But also, it was good. It was really good. Martinez had that same confidence that he arrived with, didn't he, in 2013, that same sort of swagger about him. And it was good to see that back, albeit in sort of adverse circumstances, you know, under pressure. Just thought the club handled it great. They deserve full credit, and I don't often give credit to the club, as you know. I love the team, but I just think they deserve a lot of credit for that. For the Stones saga, they told him straight, he's not going anywhere, and he's got to get his head down and play. And it doesn't matter who else is interested in him. You know, we can't be seen to be selling our best players. It's just, we haven't got that much going for us off the pitch, have we? You know, if we start selling our best players, it really does sort of give away the last vestige of hope, doesn't it? You know, we've got to keep them.
It does, and, you know, I'm with you, Mark. I don't often say a lot of good things about the off-field matters at Everton, but no. I have to admit I was impressed. The only thing would have been I could have been potentially done sooner, rather than sort of leaving Martinez in the firing line for such a long time. But and for it to get to the point where Stones and his agent probably, you know, well, his agent was in his ear and he felt the need to lodge a transfer request. But you know, that's being a bit petty, I think, on my part. I was taken aback by that statement, and it was short, sharp, and to the point. And I thought that was it. Then it ended Chelsea's interest, even though apparently they offered 38 mil on the last bid. And after that, we all just thought, wow, you know, this doesn't happen often at Everton. It doesn't happen, and it was a we've heard a lot of bullshit before. Let's be honest, he won't be sold, or we won't sell our best players. As we know, all too often over the years, then things have then panned out differently. But on this occasion, it hasn't. And I think Roberto deserves, first and foremost, a whole lot of praise for the way he's handled himself, the way he's represented the club, the way he's dealt with the media, basically frenzy surrounding it. And then finally for Ken Wright to come out and actually put an end to anything before we had to deal with any deadline day worries and any further worries.
I agree. Martinez had a lot of firefighting to do on his own there, and I thought his decorum, he didn't lose it once, and he got asked the same question 150 times of people who were so obsessed with John Stones to Chelsea that they probably need a psychiatrist coach now that he hasn't moved. I think Martinez was a real credit to himself, and also our club, the way he conducted himself, wasn't he? You know, didn't lose a drag once, as if it was the first time it had been asked, even though it hadn't. He must have been driving him mad, turning up at press conferences, knowing that was the first question that was going to come out of the mouth. Never about the team, never about what game's coming up, always about John Stones to Chelsea. You know, story does, he done fantastic then. I just hope he takes that sort of attitude into sort of the management side of it now to our team, you know, and we start to display that type of arrogance in our play and also strength.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, I hope it reflects in our play as well.
Yeah, because he's been forced to be like that in negative circumstances, as you touched on before after the Barnsley game. And but I do feel, you know, that since the turn of the year, probably, Mark, we've been saying a lot of bad things about Roberto, the club as well. Yeah. And as you said, sometimes we feel like there isn't an awful lot going for us. But I think the way we applied ourselves as a club surrounding that is there's a lot of credit that should go to them. And just on the media, Mark, they just deserve nothing but bloody fury from our fans, to be honest, because it was despicable. They behave like rats, some of them. You can't believe that they're grown men and they've got families, and there's so many agendas with that. There were so many agendas. Honestly, you could lose your marbles every hour of every day throughout that transfer window because of the stuff that was being published.
Just felt like they were all going to Mourinho's office getting told what to report from Mourinho himself about John Stones. It was that obvious, that blatant, that underhand. It was as if they were doing Mourinho's bidding for him, weren't they? You know, almost.
It's like years gone by, don't Mark, with Baines and Coleman and all that, wasn't it? And it was the mirror. It tended to be the mirror.
Yeah.
And we all know how that those things panned out, but it was like,
Martin Tyler, do you remember, was saying that Luke Shaw was going to have to fight for his place at Old Trafford once Lane Baines arrived? I mean, it was like another world. So like, hang on a minute.
I think some commentators, though, they're on the verge of saying it's Chelsea's John Stones, you know. It's ridiculous. I think it was almost like a big gang of kids, wasn't it? Just spitting a dummy out. They didn't get their way, you know. They all wanted the big money move of the summer to talk about and write about, and then they all wanted to go back and study Stones' upbringing and going to Barnsley and then signing for Everton. And at the end of the day, Everton aren't perceived as a big club by a lot of people anymore, and Chelsea, obviously, they might have won a lot of things, but...
But you think the media, right, would want a competitive league, Mark, you know, to comment on. Not the likes of Chelsea coming along and sweeping up the best players of the other clubs in the league. You know what I mean? It would have been bad for the Premier League had Chelsea signed John Stones. You can't just go around handpicking the best players off the other teams, because you can end up with the SPL.
Well, you'd add certain ex-pros and pundits.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
Didn't you saying he needs to move there? I mean, without naming names, there was a few former Everton players who were sort of hinting at what decisions should be made, and then others were coming out stating the exact opposite. And as a supporter of this club, I've seen too many people go, and I was preparing myself for it to happen again. And because Everton hadn't sufficiently strengthened, I thought it's all going to fall apart here. And this season, you know, the shit's going to hit the fan. You know, pardon me French again, but it's playing on your mind, especially after last season, and you know, we've lost a couple of players, so to lose three basically players this season, if you include Distal and Alcaraz and potentially Stones, and you know, in the circumstances that we could potentially have done, it could have been you know, the straw that broke the camel's back for a lot of our fans, I think, and for it to not happen is a relief. And obviously we would have hated to be sat here now discussing John Stones as a Chelsea player.
Absolutely, Mark. I also think, forgive me for any cynicism, but I think that given this transfer window that we had, and it was a disappointment, I also think maybe a slight reason for Stones not going was that this board could not afford Stones to go, given the sort of pathetic, you know, budget they'd given them again to strengthen the team. Also, I just think Everton were in no position. They hadn't done enough to strengthen the team again. I do think it's only a little part of it, but I do believe it's a factor that we couldn't afford to let him go because of the nature of the club right now. We're not, you know, things aren't all rosy in the garden, are they, at the moment? I just think we couldn't afford to let him go. But it boils down to this. We still got to Chelsea in the end, and we said no. So, I mean, that's just my own independent thought on it. I do think we couldn't afford to let him go at any cost.
You expect to be a money can't buy your stones ringing round Goodison then on Saturday afternoon, eh?
Yeah, I'll be joining in. It's a great song. I can't sing, but it's still a great song.
He'll be in the team, and you know, against Chelsea, as we said at the very start of this recording, it could be really a kick start. I'm expecting Goodison to be the bear pit that everyone aspires it to be again, and it doesn't happen often. It normally happens in a night game when everyone's been in the Wetherspoons on the cheap ale for 4 hours before it, like, but Saturday morning, yeah, unless every, yeah, saying that. No one County Road, they'll only be in the Wetherspoons from 9 o'clock on Saturday. But anyway, we'll finish on talking about the transfer window. But there was a game after that, Mark, on the bank holiday, the Spurs game, 0-0. We can't really, you know, we can't really discuss it in any great length because we don't want to bore anyone to death. But again, it was another okay-ish performance, wasn't it?
Okay, Tottenham played well. Everton started decent, kept possession quite well without threatening at all. But it didn't really take Tottenham long, did it, to find their groove. And it was really—it's really nice to say that Tim Howard kept us in that game completely, didn't he? You know, he really saved us. And I like this sort of interview afterwards where he didn't take any praise. He just said that's my job, and there was almost a sort of, you know, I don't know, an acknowledgement that maybe things haven't gone like for a long time. You know, so I think it was good to see Howard. Although you'd rather a more attacking performance, it was good to see Howard step up and sort of say give us a point at the end of the day, wasn't it?
That's it, and I think we know he's got that in his locker, though, Mark. I mean, Southampton game, he was decent, kept a score, you know, kept a clean sheet, didn't he? Again,
yeah.
against Spurs, he was man of the match, and credit where it's due, he was fantastic, and he kept Spurs at bay because let's be honest, Spurs had the lion's share of the chances. But what also Howard's got in his locker is the Man City game, and it's them lingering doubts that I don't think we'll get away from. But hopefully, it's more of the former than the latter this season, and we see the Tim Howard that we know is in there, or we may have seen a few years ago. But I don't know. Listen, we've spent countless time talking about him, but let's give him praise whilst he deserves it. He basically won us a point against Spurs. I know our record hasn't been that good there over the past few years. So, you know, another clean sheet away from home. I actually feel more confident when Everton play away from home, Mark. I don't know about you.
I do.
And that's not just following the Southampton game. I felt going into the Southampton game and into the Spurs game ahead of the two home games, I felt a lot more confident.
I agree. There seems to be more of a freedom to that play, doesn't there, when we're away from home? I think Goodison hasn't been, you know, the happiest place on earth lately. Maybe the atmosphere's got something to do with it. Although I do think we are getting there again. But away from home, we seem to have this... The shackles come off a little bit, don't they? You know, we can play with a bit more freedom. We certainly look more dangerous when we play that way. Just think, yeah, you're right. It wouldn't surprise... You know, we've started off great away from home, haven't we, really? Two games, we got royally spanked last season in both games, to be honest. Southampton completely owned us, didn't they? To come away from two, sort of, we got no points there last season, we've got four from the corresponding fixtures this season. That in itself, though, going into it too much represents progress, doesn't it? You know?
It's almost like to try and use an analogy like you usually do, Mark. It's like going on a lad's holiday, isn't it? And you haven't got your beard nagging yet. And when Everton are away from home, they can sort of they can get on with it. They haven't got the beard nagging them from the sidelines or whatever. You know what I mean?
Is happy with you.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the impression Ross Barkley gets when he looks at the paddock or he looks at the lower buttons. He's trying to impress the missus. But away from home, He can do what he likes, yeah.
And I've certainly seen that in Barkley's game, just whilst you've mentioned him, Mark. I even think for England, he didn't do too great for England last night, but obviously he played against San Marino at the weekend. And I can see a different Ross Barkley. I can see a mature and Ross Barkley, one with his chest puffed out, one who wants the ball, who wants to drive on with the ball, and that's what we know Ross Barkley's capable of. And last season, his confidence was in bits, but the whole team's confidence was in bits. And I agree, going back to what you said about the atmosphere, it's been shocking, hasn't it? Let's be honest. The game against Watford, the atmosphere was shocking. City, not much better. I'm hoping this Saturday, it could be a turning point on the pitch, but off it as well, you know, to give us fans, unite Goodison again.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I don't want to sort of get into the... Well, I do want to say it, but there's talk of protests again this weekend, which, you know, as you know, I'm fully supportive, but I think people will say, well, why do we want to be doing that when we want to be uniting against Chelsea? Well, I happen to think you can do both quite easily, like it's all at Southampton. You know, there's going to be planes going over and what have you, but that's an independent message to the board, isn't it, where you know, we know and we're trying to tell them we're not happy with what's going on. But once that then players cross that line, then the whole of Goodison is going to unite against... I think it's going to be better than sort of United over, because this is a team who only thought they could come along and bully us, and Scousers don't really take too well to that, do they? You know, and a team who thought they could swing the lead, take the piss, and then take our best player off. Because I just think
What about you? What about you, Wrexham boys coming up here and taking our women? Then, hey, how does that work?
I've been up here 10 years now.
Have you?
Yeah, you're right. Scousers get riled by
you've been up here 10 years.
I'm an actual wolf, not a wolf.
You've been up here 10 years and you've got an accent and a skinhead, so I think we'll let you in. We'll let you in fine. And you, plus you know, your missus is a Scouser as well.
Yeah, I'm your ladders.
And he's an Evertonian, most importantly. But yeah, obviously the protests always divide opinion, Mark. I think people need to realise the two differences, though. The fact that people aren't protesting about the team on the pitch or the manager. And the fact that they're taking to the skies or taking to the banners onto the streets and that is because they want to get the message across to the board and the media. And the last time it actually worked, and I know some media were critical, and but the goal, and I'm not speaking for any, I'm not part of any of the groups, but I'm not speaking for any of them, but people need to realise their goal is to bring it into the spotlight and bring it to the likes of Sam Matterface, Stan Collymore, you know, other local
Gabriel Marcotti was involved.
Marcotti, you mean, we've all seen what's going on with that lad on Twitter, with his revelations or basically information sharing. People may forget about how bad we were last season or the things that have gone by with the current regime in charge with the board and the things that continue to happen. And you know, it's been a couple of weeks since the transfer window. It's in the back of people's minds now. They just want to concentrate on the football. But from people who actually believe in what they believe in and want change, will continue to do it. So I think the sooner people need to realise that these groups are not coming out and saying we represent Evertonians as a fan base. They're coming out and saying these are our beliefs, these are our concerns. You're either with us, or we respect your views if you're not with us. And a lot of it comes down to respect, and there's not a lot of that out there on Twitter and social media amongst Evertonians.
No, and it's two-way. It's never just the people wanting better, or, you know, I'm not just saying everyone wants better, of course, but you can acknowledge what's going on with the board, and also it's two-way. There's anger on both sides, if you ask me. Certainly seeing that on Twitter, but I personally, point of view, I think they're doing a great job. I'm only speaking for myself, as you know, but I think they're doing a great job, and I hope they continue, because for far too long now what's going on at the club has gone unreported, and I think they're doing a fantastic job bringing it to light. And I can, you know, the aim is to make it a better effort, and one day hopefully when we're sitting around and we're starting to win trophies again, we can all look back and think, well, it was worth it.
Well, that's it. I mean, people are quick to get personal with all of the off-field issues, and I've got to admit, when people are in mid-flow on Twitter, it's not because I'm arrogant, or it's just because I can't be bothered arguing the points with people over over issues over Twitter. I'd rather sit down and have a chat with them about it. But I think there is a distinct lack of respect. People get too personal. Personally, for me, it's not like I have any anti-board campaign, but I'm pro Everton and I want a better Everton. Now, if that's that's with Bill Kenwright at the helm, then so be it. And I think people need to realise that people aren't asking for miracles. They're not asking for billionaires. They're asking for a vibrant, prosperous Everton that's actually going places. And to sum it up, I don't think a lot of Evertonians believe that we're getting it with Bill Kenwright, Robert Elstone, John Woods and the other people on the Everton board. So let's try and draw that matter to a close on the off-field issues. But obviously it's a talking point because there's going to be further protests on Saturday, Mark.
Yeah.
As you've rightly brought up, and I'm happy to discuss them with you. In terms of the transfer window, which just sort of ties in with the board, I think we were all left probably a little bit disappointed. Although the Stones news was a boost, I think we said from the offset, the window can't be seen as a positive one just by keeping a player.
I completely agree. Matt, I think the overwhelming sense was, again, underwhelming, to be honest. Overwhelmingly underwhelming was the Iran. I just think, again, you know, Martinez identified a couple of key positions, didn't he, as far back as May, and we didn't address them key positions in any way. You know, we signed, when people say we signed Rodriguez, to me, went straight into the under-21s, didn't he? I don't think he's one for it. And we signed Funes Mori, who, if you listen to Tim Vickery, we've got no chance of him getting the, of him turning up to be a good player.
Another pair crawled up.
John Merrill's thoughts on Tim Vickery, then maybe Tim Vickery isn't the best person.
John, I'll take what John Merrill says over Tim Vickery any day.
Absolutely. Merrill is the undoubted king of Twitter. I think, you know, obviously Martinez, I'd just rub it on Martinez over an old Martinez transfer record isn't the greatest. He's got a few dodgy signings, but who hasn't behind him? But I think if he sees a player there, then we've got to give him credit, got to, you know, wish the lad well. I think he'd be all right. He strikes me as a fill a position that Lescott did, you know, plays left back, plays left centre back. Hope he settles down. It's always difficult with players from South America, but I hope he does well. And that goes for Aaron Lennon, who I think is a shrewd signing for that reason, Mark, because he's going to slot that in. He knows the setup. He knows, you know, we're going to get an instant impact, aren't we, from Lennon.
So. Well, we saw last season, I think, just how good Aaron Lennon can be and how much he did fit in, and he's come back and he's had some nice things to say about it. He feels like Everton is his home, and it's great to see. I mean, a lot of people are underwhelmed by it and say we don't need him, but the thing is we need more players. Now, ideally, Funes Mori and Lennon would have complemented another two players, you know what I mean, for what we've already brought in. And Roberto did suggest three or four positions, then it went down to two, and then ultimately the Lennon deal, we've known for probably 3 months that we were going to sign him, and for financial and contractual reasons, it probably went to deadline day.
Yeah.
But Funes Mori was the one marquee name, and you know he's certainly mixing it with top players because he's an Argentinian international. And, you know, he played the other day for them.
Well, I think, you know, we just didn't do enough again. There wasn't that big ambitious signing. You know, I always go back to when we signed Kinchelskis, and that was a signing for me that we thought, hang on a minute, we're serious here. We do want to have a go. But we just lacked that, and it's, you know, again, not a board rant, but it's symptomatic of Everton under this board that we just feel underwhelmed with what's going on. It was okay, but it wasn't. It was disappointing ultimately for me. I just thought missed another golden chance.
Well, it's all the links with like Yarmolenko and all these other players that Dries Mertens, you know, Honda and Kagawa and who else? Charlie Austin. I mean, every man and his dog was linked with Charlie Austin, but
I mean, Azri was this year's Raquel, mate, I think. But Yarmolenko link came out right away after the protest, didn't it? You know, it was almost like, Christ, you better get a link out here to appease the fans, you know, because they're going mad.
We don't know whether that was the club or that was just that. It was just that 13-year-old kid on Football Ukraine Twitter winding everyone up. But then apparently the much maligned Echo actually reported that Everton tried to revive interest. Well, you know, what did they do? Did they did Elstone get off a sunbed and go over there and have one last go? Or now it seems like he's going to Barcelona in January. So you don't know. It's nice to be linked with players, but when Everton actually don't hardly sign any of them, and then. But even, you know, even if there was one off the radar where we thought, oh, hang on, he's got something lined up here, a left winger, a number 10, this number 10 everyone was talking about.
But the number 10 was especially poor because it's all Martinez has really banged on about since May, hasn't it? You know, he's wanted that position. And to turn around, people are making excuses saying, well, Morales can do that, Barkley can play that. Well, Martinez wouldn't have identified that position if he thought the future of that position laid within his squad. You know what I mean? So he clearly doesn't think they're number 10s in their own right, because he wouldn't have come out and said what he did back in May. So again, you know, the guy wanted one, he didn't get it, and you know, I just didn't think as a club, you know, just left looking at me change again, thinking, you know, that doesn't look right.
That's it. Now you've got to deal with what we've got, haven't you? And you know, Tom Cleverley. We'll talk about Tom Cleverley in a minute, but he's injured. Garbutt's injured, Baines is injured, Brendan Galloway's injured, Oviedo looks miles off the pace, Darren Gibson's bevied in his car somewhere, Pienaar's on crutches, Osman hasn't had a look in, so you know, you're looking, are we going to start all right wingers on Saturday against Chelsea?
Looks like they won't be able to get him down our left, which is a good sign.
It was refreshing to see Funes Mori, a player coming with a left foot, but We need a defenders, yeah, critically, but we also needed someone creatively and in attack. We need these players, and he might come out later in the season and say, well, the targets were not there, but it's not like we didn't have sufficient time.
No, there was enough targets moving around. I'm not having it that, you know, again, people making excuses saying that maybe the right player wasn't out there. Absolute nonsense. There's players moving all over the place who would have improved us. If you ask me, there's, you know, probably get shot down, but the likes of Payet for West Ham certainly looks a good player, doesn't he? You know, we sort of act like we won the league last season, and it would only take a special type of player to improve as well. We finished 11th. You know, we do need someone to play between the lines. For me, you know, fantasy would have been Cagwell, because he was perfect for that, if you ask me, but didn't get it.
With all due respect, though, Mark, it wouldn't take much to really bring in someone and improve on in terms of football and ability, the likes of Stephen Naismith, you know, the likes of Brian Oviedo down the left. I mean, as much as I like them players for different reasons, it's, you know, Osman and Pienaar are over the hill now. You've got a compact central midfield, but around that you needed to strengthen. And I think maybe he will utilise Delafoe on the left. We might see that, but he probably shouldn't have to. You know, Delafoe, Morales and Lennon should be complementing the other players around them, and we haven't these options, but it hasn't happened. What you said about, you know, feel like I'm looking at me change again. People buy the shirts, they buy the season tickets, they invest in the club, and sometimes we don't get it back. And now we've got to get on with it. But you know, we could go out and beat Chelsea on Saturday. Everything feels really up for it, and then we go to Swansea and the other games in the rest of September. So
yeah,
you know,
some games, Mark, and you know, 1 minute against Chelsea, and it really sets us up, doesn't it? You know, we sort of do all right at Swansea, don't we? You know, we get beat, but we always look a good team when we play Swansea away, not apart from a few League Cup disasters. It's a game where we can certainly get, can play well. I love Swansea. I love Swansea this season. I think they're a cracking team to watch.
I've got a lot of time for Swansea. Gary Monk.
They're doing it the right way. They've got a great setup there, and I just think they're like, you know, they scout really well, don't they? You know what I mean? They know the players. They know what they
I like the span of their team: Williams, Jonjo, Shelvey, Gomez. They've got a few other tricky wingers there as well. And what's that lad on the left side, the left winger?
Montero, I like him as well. Yeah.
The players are out there though, Mark. It goes back to look at Stoke, look at West Ham. You know, Shaqiri, Bojan the year before. West Ham have signed that Paye. They've signed other players who look like they've hit the ground running. What about like Newcastle, that with Ginaldum as well? They've signed lads, haven't they? I'm not to say that they're all going to turn out to be world beaters. This this season, but there is players there that can add to what you've got or improve what you've got, and we just never seem to come through with anyone.
Like you say, Wijnaldum is would he have not have improved us? You know what I mean? We could have gone and got him, but I'd have fancied us to beat Newcastle if we were in for him. But would he have not have improved us? You know, I think he would have done.
Yeah.
If you go back a year or two, Sissoko as well, Newcastle bought him. He's a terrific player, isn't he? You know, yeah. Sissoko, he's what you want in the middle of the park. French international. I don't think our scouting is all that at the moment, to be honest with you, because these players are out there. We just can't find them.
We get linked with like a shopping list of names. Our fans go into meltdown, tracking agents and tracking foreign journalists on Twitter, becoming fluent in Ukrainian, and then that's it. We sign Aaron Lennon, and the deadline slams shut.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's almost boring, isn't it? You know what I mean? There's nothing stimulating in there. It's just like going to the library.
But of the players we've signed this summer, Mark, they're all welcome additions. Yeah, a couple of them are youngsters gone into the reserves. Mori, only time will tell on Funes Mori. It's a big investment, but you know, he's still relatively young. He's an international. He's a left-sided defender, so he might start. I think Roberto said he's hinted that he might start left back against Chelsea. You know, he might see a position there for him until Baines comes back to fitness, and then he's utilised in centre defence. Then you've got, obviously, we know Lennon. He's a perfect fit, Delafoe. But Tom Cleverley, how disappointing was that injury?
Really gutted for the lad, because he started really well, hasn't he? He's having a career, he's looked good on the ball, he's always looking to pass forward, he's just settled in like he's been at the club a few years. He's been a real bonus, hasn't he, Cleverley, the way he's played? I thought he was only going to get better as well. I don't think we've scratched the surface with Cleverley on what he can bring to the team. I think he's a really good player, isn't he, and one of them where he plays consistently, he gets better and better with that. Just, I was really gutted for him. To be fair, you couldn't criticise the challenge too much. It was robust, but he did win the ball, didn't he, Dyer? But it was just...
Yeah.
I felt really sorry for him. He doesn't deserve that.
Typical that it was a former Everton player. A former Everton player taking out a brand new Everton player. But I don't think Tom Cleverley's put a foot wrong since arriving. Again, like Lennon, he's probably not the most exciting player that you sign, but he's got a point to prove. He's you know, he wasn't in favour at United, and I think he's been a real surprise to a lot of us, just how good he's been. And hopefully, you know, he returns to full fitness, because he's full of fitness, he's full of energy. He'll play wherever you want to play him. You know, he can pick a pass. Hopefully he goes on to pick a goal or two this season, you know, and he gives us something different.
He's played better than McCarthy this season so far, hasn't he? You know, I think James McCarthy's had a quiet start to the season.
McCarthy had a nightmare against City, didn't he?
I'm choosing my words carefully, Matt, because every time I have a go at McCarthy, I get laid into something else on Twitter. So, you know, he's had a quiet start to the season, I'll say, to state that. But I think McCarthy certainly needs to do a bit more, to be honest with you. He hasn't really played well, has he, this season so far?
No, he hasn't, and by his own standards, he is one of them, isn't he? That he divides opinion, though, McCarthy, doesn't he? People are like, oh, you think he's good because he runs around a lot, but I think that's unfair. I think he does a lot, but he's just not the type of player to start creating chances and scoring goals. No. We did see a little bit of that towards the end of last season, because there was no one else really, and obviously we know.
Yeah, but I think with McCarthy, class will outmark. You know, he's a good player. He is a good player. And I just think, you know, he's going through a dodgy spell at the moment, but I think he'll come through it like all good players do.
Yeah, I think just in terms of midfield, Gareth Barry, he's been okay this season, hasn't he? It doesn't look as bad as he did last season. Mo Bezic and Darren Gibson, I mean, we won't dwell on Gibson, but he was in the press recently. There's no signs of him coming back anytime soon. Mo Bezic, did you see what he got sent off for the other day?
Is it spitting his chewing gum back out?
I thought it was grass. I thought he threw grass, but it was just ridiculous. It was like, so I think people are like, oh, it's Bezic and laughing at him and that. But to me, he's got this bit of a Plasiard man tag, and he's only a kid. And I think he could be a bit of a loose cannon if we throw him in the starting lineup in the Premier League. So I think he's got a lot to learn.
Certainly when you consider the opponents, you know, seemingly okay to... Andorra it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And, there's just some opponent that it's just not acceptable to get sent off against. Do you know what I mean? You can understand it if Bosnia were playing Spain or they were playing, you know, a key game against sort of, you know, one of the neighbours and they needed to do well or something. But against Andorra, you know, I just think it's especially poor to get sent off.
I think if...
And I know that doesn't really make sense, but do you know what I mean? I just think... Yeah. The guy's shown a complete lack of discipline there, hasn't he? You know, what
some supporters will laugh at his behaviour and be like, oh, Bezic, he's a nutter, but I don't see it. I don't see him. If he's going to behave like that, he's not going to get a chance anytime soon under Roberto, because Roberto won't take no behaviour like that. So, but
no, particularly threadbare as our squad is, we need players, don't need players suspended, do we? We need players available.
What about PSG throwing in a bid for Coleman as well? That was a surprise, wasn't it?
Was it genuine? If it was genuine...
Well, I mean, was anything genuine in the transfer window, or was it just driven by the media? But it seemed like because the media couldn't sell Stones, the next day they tried to sell Coleman. Maybe that was the case.
Seamus Coleman is a fantastic player, a great player. I'm you know, someone who's been a steal for us, a complete steal. But I'd question whether he was up to that standard, to be honest with you, to play in. PSG's team. I'm not saying he's a poor player. He's clearly a very good player, an excellent player. But I just think that if I'm not saying the French league, I'm talking Champions League football now. You know, I just don't know. I'm probably talking out my ass, to be honest with you. He's clearly a crap player. It just seemed odd to me. I just think it may be the type of player PSG wouldn't go for. You know.
Yeah. Well, it's just another rumour there, but there was that many of them. It's now we've got no rumours to talk about until January, so we've just got to draw a line under it and get on with it.
Let your hair grow back.
And you know, Stones are still at the club. It is a positive. We've signed four players this summer, which, as I said before, welcome additions, but we could have really done a lot better in the market. I'm sure a lot of Evertonians would probably say that. But I think the main focus now is getting back to the football, getting into Chelsea on Saturday, because there couldn't be a better time to play them, let's be honest. And it's usually lively when we do play them. Our record's a bit hit and miss over the years at Goodison against them, and then after that we've got the Swansea game, we've got the Reading game, haven't we? And then we've got the Derby as well coming up in October. So when are you going on holiday?
On Tuesday, Mark, yeah.
You're going on holiday.
I'll be away for the Swansea game and the West Brom game. Yeah.
The West Brom, and that's the Monday night, isn't it?
Monday night game, yeah.
So you go on holiday, get your sun hat on, and grow your hair back, and then so we won't be doing a podcast. Well, we could do one after the Chelsea game, and then we'll see.
Yes, absolutely, we could do. Yeah. I think Chelsea, I fancy us. Don't want to put the mockers on it and say that, you know, they're playing poorly, because the last time I said that, they, you know, I hadn't even sat down and Chelsea would 2-0 up. So I think let's just hope that Chelsea continue to sort of play that. But I think let's hope we go positive, and then our best players, like Stelfo, use what they've got, and we can hurt anyone. We can. You just got to believe we can hurt them.
Delafoe's got to be starting for me. Delafoe's got to start. He's got to be fit enough now. He's had a fortnight. Lukaku against his old club. John Stones will be able to make an impression. Yeah. Goodison Park bouncing. You know, I can't see nothing but 3 points. I wanted to finish on a positive day for once, eh, Mark?
Let's go first on match of the day. Win 5-0. You know,
first on match of the day. You are pushing it now.
I am. I've already taken match of the day. Now that is confidence.
You've already tasted.
Not a care in the world. I think we'll have.
You've looked into your crystal ball there. I'm open, so anyway, Mark. Well, anyway, it's been good to catch up with you. We'll speak again after the Chelsea game. We have to do the little plug for the show at the end, don't we? Everton Fan Focus on iTunes. Everyone seems to be doing it on iTunes these days, don't they? But you can do that on the podcast app. Just search Everton Fan Focus. You can also follow us on SoundCloud, Everton Fan Focus. People have said about Android users, and both of us are a bit daft when it comes to technology, but I believe the best way of using it on Android would be to download the SoundCloud app and listen to it off that. But I think it's only really advisable if you're in Wi-Fi. So, but I don't work in IT, and I'm far from clued up.
I certainly don't work in IT.
Just two Evertonians talking about Everton here via satellite by the sounds of it. But anyway, all right, Mark, good to speak to you.
Cheers, Mark.
Thanks for everyone listening. We'll speak to you soon.
Bye now.
Ta-ra.